Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcelo Suave here. I like my suit.
And Emmanuel Acho.
Your mind is about to bust, bro. Oh.
I've been eating too good out here in Cali.
That's the L.A. life, bro.
Well, let's get it started today
by going to Dallas, where Dak Prescott and the Cowboys running out of time to work on a long-term deal. The two sides can't come to terms by July 15th. Dak will play this season on the franchise tag as the negotiations drag on. Reportedly, the main holdup is that Dak is looking to sign a four-year deal that will give him more flexibility, while Jerry wants Dak to sign for 5 years. So Acho is more likely to cave here. Dak, Jerry, or that suit?
What's going on? Who you got?
Well, the suit first and foremost.
Right.
But after that, I have to say that Dak is more likely to cave.
Mm.
And Dak is more likely to cave because Dak does not have the same leverage that Jerry Jones has, Marcelo.
What do you mean? You mean the same amount of money?
No. Hear me out, my brother.
Mm.
Dak lost his power when the Cowboys got Andy Dalton and hold your laughs.
Red.
Okay.
King.
And when the Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round. Here's why. Remember, when Jerry caved last year after the Cowboys, he caved to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes, yes.
The Cowboys didn't have a backup running back. Who they have? Tony Pollard?
Yeah.
A former receiver in college that was a running back that was a return man. They didn't have any replacement. But if Dak were to sit right now, what would happen? Andy Dalton would waltz in there in the under center. And Andy Dalton would still have Zeke, while you're laughing. He would still have CeeDee. He would still have Michael Gallup. He would still have Amari. He would still have weapons. What is Dak giving you? Dak will give you 8-8. Dak will give you 9-7. Dak will give you 10-6.
And?
What will Andy Dalton give you?
And?
Andy Dalton will give you 8-8.
And?
Andy Dalton will give you 9-7.
And?
Andy Dalton will give you 10-6. They'll both get to the playoffs, but neither one has shown yet that they're going to win a chip. So, Dak doesn't have much leverage because the Cowboys do have a competent backup plan. Andy Dalton's not a world beater, no. But he's a competent backup plan, sir.
Oh, really? He's not a world beater?
He's not.
He barely beat anybody last year. Two win, Andy. And I'm not shooting at Andy Dalton, but please. You forgot your computer glitch on you or something? Because Dak Prescott won 13 games as well, if you forget about that. Won that division twice in his 4 years. Let's keep going there. Jerry Jones is going to cave. Jerry been writing checks forever to chase that high of them Super Bowl championships of yesteryear.
He has.
And now he doesn't want to write a check. And guess what, Jerry? Dak is just getting more expensive by the second. Tick tock. More money every single second. Dak Prescott is sitting there floating, just chilling. Like, I ain't got to do a damn thing, Jerry, and you're going to pay me. I'm going to float my way to my destination.
Mm-hmm.
This is why. Let's just talk strictly in the numbers.
Let's talk.
Because Dak has the personnel to do what he needs to do this year,
okay,
adding to CeeDee Lamb as well. Dak last year was put under the challenge of, Dak, we know that you've been doing well in terms of wins, second most wins since you've been in the league as a quarterback. And I thought you were about wins, but he has a tie for second most wins. He's sitting there chilling. And then everyone's like, but you're kind of a system quarterback. You just, you know, a product of the environment. Mm-hmm. So Dak goes out there and PRs in terms of his numbers, mm-hmm, has a great individual statistical year. And then they move the goalposts again. So Dak sits there and is like, I want my long-term deal. And then Patrick Mahomes comes and saves the day. Because Patrick Mahomes signed for 2 decades long worth of money, $500 million. Fine. Dak and Todd France are sitting there saying, oh, my God. Does Jerry know what he just did? The floor. This is Dak's floor. I'm going to give it to you for real.
Please.
If Jerry keeps doing what Jerry is doing right now, he's going to get franchised. And then, guess what? Dak in the next 3 years is going to make $122 million minimum. You know how much Patrick Mahomes is going to make in the next 3 years? $63 million. Dak's like, why would I ever budge to any deal that is not exactly what I want? Or franchise
Here's
me.
My thing, though, bro. If Jerry was going to cave, right? If Jerry was going to be like, you know what? Screw it. Let me just cut to the check here, Dak.
Mm.
Don't you think he would have done that by now, sir?
Nope.
You knew that Patrick Mahomes was about to get paid.
Yep.
I knew
that
Patrick Mahomes was about to get paid.
Yep.
It wasn't a secret. You all knew that Patrick Mahomes was about to get paid. So you're just going to act like Jerry didn't know that Mahomes was going to get paid? Jerry did know that. But what else did Jerry know? Jerry also sees Dak each and every day, which you and I don't. Here's my thing, Marcellus.
I'm listening.
You, sir, you hang out to that lovely statistic. Well, Dak won 13 games his rookie year. You, sir.
Hold on, you give me all his other years?
You hang on to that lovely statistic. Well, Dak is one of the winningest quarterbacks since he entered into the league. He is. But Andy Dalton is also one of only 8 quarterbacks who have won 70 games over the last 9 years. So if you want to throw out fanciful statistics, let's throw out the fanciful statistics. But let's also throw out this.
Oh, you got more? You gonna go deeper in that hole?
I'm gonna dive in. Okay, head first and just start swimming in that hole.
Wow.
But here's what I know is it. Jerry realizes, man, Dak, can you win me the big one? That's the question. Not can you win me games. Dak can clearly win games. I'm not arguing with you about that. Dak can clearly win 8, 9, and 10 games. Wow. But Jerry isn't convinced that Dak can win the big one, and that is Jerry Jones' leverage.
First of all, only one of us ever got some money from Jerry Jones. And I am living testimony that he doesn't know how to spend his money well.
You know what I'm saying? I can look at a couple other players. I don't want to call anybody else out. But I know that Jerry sometimes gets lost in the sauce, don't know how to spend his money well. That's why Stephen Jones is now on the same level as Jerry. You keep talking about this Andy Dalton like he's been balling out of control.
He ain't been balling, but he done a little something.
You, what do you call 4 straight losing seasons?
Continue, sir.
0 playoff wins.
Continue, sir.
Yeah. What are we going to talk about? Of the 8 quarterbacks who have been franchise tag in NFL history, 8 of them, only 2 have played the ensuing season on the tag. Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And they eventually signed with a new team. All I'm telling you is this is almost unprecedented. No Cowboys quarterback has ever been franchised, but Dak is. And Dak is sitting there saying, you ever been to Raging Waters at one of them theme parks where all the water and the water, the wave pools and people be getting in?
Hurricane Harbor.
Hurricane Harbor. Right. When you get in that wave pool, 2 things either happens. Either A, you realize you're not that good in water and can't swim as well as you thought. Mm-hmm. Or B, you start doing a little more because you're like, yo, I got help. Things are assisting me. The waves are kicking it. Let me just ride these things. Dak is riding the wave right now.
I got a question.
You know why he's riding the wave?
Why?
Because he can't lose 3 years, 122. It's already set.
Let me ask you this then, sir, because I feel like you're looking at these two characters and with vastly different lenses. Dak Prescott, how many games do you think he's going to win for the Cowboys this year?
This year? 10. Minimum.
That's fair. Minimum. He's going to win 10.
Yeah.
I would say that is his, between his floor and his ceiling, it's right around 10. Andy Dalton. If he were to start every game for the Cowboys this year with all those same weapons, how many games do you think they're going to win?
They might go -1.
Stop.
Look, he won 2 games last year.
Nobody.
What I'm saying is Joe Mixon is nobody?
Joe Mixon, outside of Joe Mixon, they had 1 rusher over 150 yards.
I'm talking about Joe. No, forget the other guy.
All they had was Joe. But think about this.
Oh, my God.
And I'll give you Dax 10. I will give you Dax 10.
Yes.
But you better give me Andy Dalton's 8 or 9. The Cowboys have weapons.
Cincinnati didn't give it to them, did they?
Cincinnati had a weapon.
You know why? Because they didn't have a quarterback who could get on the ball, whether A.J. Green was healthy or not. Let's move on to New England. Woo, that was spirited right there, which is what Cam Newton just did, move to New England. After a long summer in which the former MVP didn't have a whole lot of suitors in free agency. But it sounds like the lack of interest is actually going to fuel Cam this season, with one former teammate claiming Cam took names. This offseason plans on getting his revenge on the field is Cam Newton. So, Acho, think Cam will play with a chip on his shoulder?
That's obvious, bro. Cam is going to play with a chip on his shoulder, and we know that. These aren't even my words. Listen to what Cam said. Remember, Cam came out and said, y'all going to choose that over this? Remember what Cam said? I'm at your net. Cam has told us he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That's the low-hanging fruit. That's the simple answer, Marcellus. But let's dive a little deeper, because that's what you and I do best on this show.
We didn't do it last segment. At least you didn't.
Let's dive a little deeper, okay? Cam's chip on his shoulder is going to have some negative consequences.
Wow.
Because the chip on Cam's shoulder, his issue is he's going to end up slighting a bunch of his teammates. Remember when Cam came out last week, y'all going to choose that over this? Yes, he might have been talking about Teddy Bridgewater being chosen in Carolina.
I think he was.
But who else could he have been talking about? Jared Stidham. And as a starting quarterback, who needs to be your best friend? That backup quarterback. Because when you're jogging off the field, besides the head coach, besides the QB coach, and whoever may be on the sideline, who are you asking for? Hey, what you see by the defense. Well, what the high safety do? Was he rolling low? Were they trying to show me cover two and move into cover three? Like, who is going to be your best friend? It needs to be that backup quarterback, that clipboard holder. So the chip on Cam's shoulder will be there. That's the short answer. But if we want to get into the more detailed answer, that chip might negatively affect Cam because it might end up negatively affecting his teammates too.
Ooh, interesting. I'm going to get to that point. But whenever you hear chip on your shoulder and Cam Newton in the same sentence, you're like, that was redundant. Like, it's the same damn thing. Talking about synonymous. The dude, it could be third and one, which is only 1 yard, right? Which is only 3 feet, right? Cam gets the first, and you know what Cam going to do. Like, they start jogging. Like, Cam, every single thing he does is with such great intent. Chip on his shoulder. I played with a guy who got a lot of story for having a chip on his shoulder. Maurice Jones-Drew. Mojo. Mojo, why you wearing number 32? You're like, O.J. Simpson. You're like, who, Jim Brown? He's like, nah, 32 teams passed over me, homie. Okay, I'm playing a game of football. You're on a mission. Okay, he's out there. Everything that Maurice Jones-Drew did was mission-fied. And that took his intensity to an entirely different level than most players. That's going to help Cam Newton because Cam Newton is not only slighted by Carolina, not only slighted by all the other teams that passed on him when they had opportunities for putting a Cam Newton NFL MVP in their starting position. Okay. But Cam's also like, why do y'all think I'm sorry? I was in a vehicle. And I caught a flat. And all of a sudden, they start saying, you can't drive. No. He's just got a flat. Fix the flat. It took a year and a half to fix the damn flat. But now it's fixed, and he is on a mission, Rambo style. Cam Newton is going to make it all good. Now, you start talking about, like, oh, the car is flat again, and Jared Stidham, I need to tell you how to deal with cover two. This ain't the Boy Scouts, bruh. There have been times where quarterbacks don't talk to each other. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. There's been times for situations where they're best friends. The point of it is Cam Newton on a mission is going to make everyone else feel better about their game.
I like Cam on a mission because that's the only way Cam is Cam. Remember, Super Cam, dating back. Y'all got to watch football. That's the thing. That's the thing. You got to watch not just now, but remember back when Cam was in college playing Alabama. Auburn hadn't really had Alabama's number. I think Cam was down 21-0, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Leads that whole team back, and after winning, he jogs around the field like this, like he was shocked, although he knew he was going to do it the whole time because that's just how Super Cam works. Cam Newton lives with a chip on his shoulder, and that is what makes Cam Newton Cam. So I'm not worried about the chip on his shoulder because it's going to be there. The issue is because remember also, it's not like Brady ain't played with a chip on his shoulder. If you ain't never played with or against Brady, he always played with a chip on his shoulder. Cam's chip is going to be there. It's just a matter of Marcellus. Is it going to be detrimental? Because what is there? There is a law of diminishing returns, sir. We can talk smart on this show. There's a law of diminishing returns.
Yeah, I respect that. The thing about Cam Newton, though, I remember that Auburn-Oregon National Championship game. I went. That was the first time I've ever been to an SEC game. Hey, I've never seen so many people crying for joy. Like, tears. Like, I saw families rose. Oh, my God, Cam Newton. And Cam, from that moment, that was only a one-and-done year for Cam Newton at Auburn. And a national championship MVP. Whenever you count this guy out, whenever you say back against the wall, Cam Newton has always responded. So he goes into a situation. You must compete against who? Jared Stidham. Okay, let me be nice in these videos. Four passes thrown in the NFL. Cam Newton is not worried about Jared Stidham. Cam Newton's not even worried about if he's going to play well. He's just trying to make sure this car don't catch a flat again. And if it doesn't, the NFL world is in trouble. Coming up, Lamar Jackson may be the reigning MVP, but not everyone thinks he's a top five quarterback. We'll tell you if they lost their damn minds. Next, Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai.
What's the number one sign of a bad home security system? A home security system that's so complicated, you never use it. This is exactly the type of security system SimpliSafe has spent a decade fighting against.
They believe that simple is safer, and it's exactly why SimpliSafe is the home security for right now, when feeling safe at home has never been more important. SimpliSafe was designed to be easy to use while protecting your home 24/7. Order online with the click of a button, open the box, place the sensors, plug it in, and your home is protected around the clock. No technician or salesperson has to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a 2-year contract. Simply Safe was named Best Overall Home Security of 2020 by U.S. News and World Report. And their 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch starts at 50 cents a day. Head to simplysafe.com/speak and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/speak to make sure they know that our show sent you.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, sponsored by KFC's $20 fill-up. Drive-thru's open or get delivery by Grubhub. Let's move to Lamar Jackson, who's made it a point to let everyone know that the MVP award, it ain't go to his head, and that he's putting in plenty of work this offseason. But apparently, not everyone is taking him seriously, with ESPN not even putting Lamar in the top 5 of the quarterback rankings this season. That's right, the reigning MVP is ranked below Pat Mahomes. That's acceptable. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Andrew Brees. We're joined now by the one and only NFL analyst, Lamar Arrington. Lamar Sellers,
yeah.
I'm going to start with you. Is it crazy to rank Lamar Jackson this low?
You know damn well it's crazy. No respect for Lamar Jackson once again. I'm going to take an approach that I see in society a lot of times, that when you want to build something up, unfortunately, you got to tear something else down. And I'm about to tear down some other people that I truly respect, but I got to do my job as well. Aaron Rodgers should not be at number 3. And if he is at number 3, then Lamar Jackson need to be number 2 or number 1. My point is, Aaron Rodgers should not be higher than Lamar Jackson. Aaron Rodgers, somebody in that organization is thinking he may be even number 2 on his own roster, fully guaranteed and going out there and moving up in the draft to get Jordan Love. I don't know when they think they're going to execute on that mindset, but somebody in there is thinking that Jordan Love is too good to pass up. And last time I checked, when you have the number 3 quarterback in NFL, you're not moving up in the draft in the first round to go get his backup. So that's for that. You look at the situation in Green Bay. The philosophy last year was less Aaron Rodgers, more Green Bay Packers. And that led them to 13 wins, one game away from the Super Bowl. They actually got less of Aaron Rodgers. You think this year they're going to ask more of him? I don't see that happening. Let's go to Deshaun Watson, who I truly respect. But, Lord, if we don't start giving proper respect to people with proper titles, the accreditation. If you're a doctor, you're a doctor. If you're in medical school, you're in medical school. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson is the MVP. He's a doctor. Deshaun Watson is still in medical school, trying to become the MVP. So all these other guys that we're going to not even mention, but Drew Brees, I got to throw him into the mold as well, who has never won an MVP as well, who is going to retire at the end of this year. And if they're talking about going forward, there was no one better than Lamar Jackson in terms of quarterback performance. Even Patrick Mahomes last year didn't have a better year at the quarterback position. And people keep saying, oh, it's the label of Lamar Jackson. Since college, people have been skeptical, could he throw? He's just gotten better every single year since his freshman year in college. It's the fact that they look at a Lamar Jackson and they start to say, you know what? That stigma must be real. It's not real. It's deceptive. And it is making people look at him with a hypercritical eye. Lamar Jackson should be number 3, and then the other guys should follow suit.
Marcellus, if you were simply looking through the peephole, right? If you're just looking through the peephole, you're right. But if you were to open up the door and get the full vantage point, you would understand that you're wrong. Now, Lamar Jackson is a beast. He's a beast. I'm not sitting here knocking Lamar.
It's
but
coming
for
up.
The sake of this conversation,
what?
Let's have a conversation.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, if you were to pluck him from the Ravens roster, because how I am looking at this is a level playing field. I'm not looking at Lamar Jackson playing with his 3 freakazoid tight ends and his 2 nice running backs and looking at it like that. I am looking at the quarterbacks in an isolated vantage point, looking at the quarterbacks in isolation. Patrick Mahomes, obviously the best quarterback in the NFL. Deshaun Watson, if you were to put him on any team, right? If you were to put him on any team, you're going to take Deshaun over Lamar.
What does that mean?
What that means is simple.
What?
Lamar Jackson on the Ravens may be the better quarterback, but if you just had to draft now blindly, not drafting an entire roster, not drafting an organization, not drafting a head coach, you're not taking Lamar over Pat Mahomes. You're not taking Lamar over Russell Wilson. You're not taking Lamar over Deshaun Watson. Why? Because if you were to take Lamar and put him in the Saints offense, where you're now just spreading it out and I need you to throw the ball just 50 times a game, that's what I need from you, that you're not taking Lamar. It's no knock on Lamar. The Ravens have built around him masterfully, and they have helped make him, along with his phenomenal skill set, into an MVP. But open up the door, Marcellus. See the whole vantage point. See the full point.
Why don't you go outside? Forget the door. Go outside and see him play.
I'm going to close that door and send you on your way back home, young macho Acho, on that one.
Thank you.
That is certainly not a peephole that I would look through and open the door and want that response to come through.
Mm.
I don't think that it's crazy at all to look at Lamar Jackson not being where we expect him to be on this list. When you think about, we just debated last week or the week before Aaron Rodgers not being on a list at all, and he's number three on this list today. I think it might be Pro Football
Talk,
whatever. So when you look at these lists, it's all subjective. I don't know who the person is behind making that list. And if we did, we could probably come up with list of arguments as to why they're right or why they're wrong. So when you do this, I look at it from this perspective. If it were me ranking them, Lamar Jackson has to be number one. You know why? Because the measurement, here's why. The measurement of who is number one has to be based off of what you get done. It'd be no different than when we went to see Wilder fight Tyson Fury, Marcellus.
Yeah.
If Wilder wins that fight, he's the champ. You know why? Because he won that fight. To me, I'm not going to look at it any other way than that right now. Lamar Jackson went out there and he won the fight of getting MVP of the National Football League. Now, if I'm going to give number two away, I'll give number two away to Pat Mahomes because he came back, got a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. But if we're talking about who was the best rated guy, the most valuable guy to their team last season, it's easily Lamar Jackson. So come take it from him if you're going to be considered to be the best at the position.
Yes. Thank you. Can we make MVP mean something? Make MVP matter?
Hello?
Like, damn it.
Hello?
He just won MVP because he was the best player, not only at his position, but the entire league.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, he comes back the next year. No games have been played. He's number six at his position. Boy, stop. You guys keep telling me what he can't do, and he just keeps proving you wrong every single year. To the tune of last year, you know who was number two in the pocket in terms of quarterback rating? The guy who could run, the receiver. That guy, number two. And that's the thing he can't do. Y'all trip me out with this whole label. He got label issues since college. He's been labeled wrong. He should have been receiver. He labeled. He can't throw. Y'all sound like he's a rapper or something. Like he got assigned to a bad label. And he's not in that world. Everyone limits their scope. Everyone looks at him through the peephole, Acho. And the problem is, even when you look at him through the door, you need to step into his world and understand his growth. And it's been happening since his freshman year. And he has continued to show and prove. I don't understand a world where you give someone the award for being the best, but then you want to look at other guys who are in decline. Aaron Rodgers is in decline.
Marcellus.
His QBR was 95 last year. Aaron Rodgers is going down the hill, but he's better than Lamar Jackson, who was the best in the league last year.
He's leading in with gentlemen.
I'm not here to knock Lamar. That's not what I'm here to do. What I am here to do is to bring some enlightenment on understanding the list. I get where they're coming from. How can you sit here and say that Lamar Jackson should be the number one quarterback because he was the MVP? Remember what he's the MVP of.
Because he was the MVP.
He was
the MVP.
You don't want MVP, Acho?
The MVP of the The MVP of the regular season. What did Lamar say just 2 weeks ago? And I quote, "We took the Tennessee Titans lightly when it mattered most." Lamar Jackson, he's saying he still has some growing to do. If you were to vote on the MVP award at the end of the season, after the Super Bowl, it would be ludicrous to say Lamar was the MVP. Because who got them a playoff win? Russell Wilson did. Patrick Mahomes did. I'm not knocking Lamar, but y'all can't just sit here and say because he was the MVP of the regular season that he's the best quarterback in the whole league and that it's ludicrous to put Russ or Pat Mahomes or Drew Brees. You can't say it's ludicrous.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Acho, I bet you got your brother's spankings more than you did. You were setting him up, and he was getting spankings, and you was sitting there laughing while Sammy was getting tapped. And you know why I know this? Because you just took what it is that we just discussed and you totally switched the whole storyline and the whole narrative of what this is all about, which I truly, truly, I enjoy it because you are truly our little brother. I respect that. Here's the point, man. The MVP award does matter.
Yes.
It does, and it's there for a reason. And the reason why they don't use it in the playoffs, imagine somebody like Nick Foles gets hot in the playoffs because he has to play and does well enough for his team, interestingly enough, to win the Super Bowl. That's not going to dictate to me how I look at Nick Foles as an overall quarterback and an overall player. But the body of work says if you're able to do a regular season at the level that Lamar Jackson did week in and week out, they take that sample size and they feel like that is the most important part of how you choose your National Football League MVP. And I subscribe to that. They got it right this year. He has the belt. He has the title. There's no reason to try to diminish that man's accomplishment because you know what? Every single player that plays this game wants at the end of the season to be the most valuable player, let alone the most valuable player of everybody. I'm not diminishing that, and I think he should be number one specifically for that reason.
And, LeVar, let me answer. You asked who wrote this, who did this. Jeremy Fowler did it. And guess what Jeremy Fowler said when he did it and got the results back? Oh, the results even surprised me. Take it away, Acho. Nobody's believing Lamar Jackson is six. Get out of here.
Lamar, you still a dog, okay?
Coming up, Cam Newton is looking to jumpstart his career in New England. One Hall of Famer says he wouldn't be shocked if Cam doesn't start week one. What?
We'll tell you what we think next.
Speak for yourself.
Let's take former MVP Cam Newton, who was rewarded with a one-year deal by the Patriots after Tom Brady left for Tampa. The team posted a hype video yesterday to get fans pumped up for Cam's debut. But one Hall of Famer, our guy Tony Gonzalez, says the quarterback and his new coach are like oil and water, and that he wouldn't be shocked if Cam doesn't start week one.
Ooh,
LeVar Arrington's back. Acho, I'll start with you. Would you be shocked Cam doesn't start week one?
Yes, I would be shocked. But it's ludicrous. Cam is going to start week one. Now, going into training camp on the depth chart, Cam may not be the number one guy on the depth chart starting training camp.
Y'all back, put them backpedal shoes
Bill
on.
Bill Belichick's mantra, tear you down before building you up.
Ooh.
And hopefully you do eventually get built up. But Bill Belichick will have his New England Patriots win 10 Super Bowls in a row and be like, we still sorry. We still got a ton to prove. Right, y'all just went to the Super Bowl like 5 years straight. Y'all are amazing. Bill Belichick's whole MO is to tell you how good you aren't so that you continue to play with a chip on your shoulder, which we talked about prior. But is Cam Newton going to start week one? Y'all, let's not act like we haven't seen Cam and Jared compete at similar places before. They both were at Auburn. Cam, 14-0, national title. Stidham, not so much. Stidham, great quarterback. I covered him in college. I liked his game in college. I don't have anything yet to say in the NFL because it's inconclusive evidence to rule a decision as the jury. However, Cam, NFL, I'm not even going to say it.
Don't do it.
Cam, NFL MVP, is he going to start week one? Yes, and to think otherwise is asinine.
Here comes asinine.
Oh, God.
Well, here come all the way live.
Here come asinine.
105 miles per hour. I've been telling y'all this from day one. Yeah, y'all could act like
it's asinine not for him to start.
Okay, then. Then it's going to be a whole lot of bringing me my bottles because I want this. I'm going to tell you why. When you think about the whole idea of Cam Newton coming in and being the guy for the New England Patriots. Let's go through the checklist here. Offseason comes. They let Tom Brady go eventually. Now, at the time that they let Tom Brady go, one Cam Newton still was not available. Or maybe he was available. Or maybe it doesn't even matter. You know why? Because when they let Tom Brady go, they felt confident enough in Jared Stidham that they could let the GOAT go when they did because they felt that this guy would be able to step in and be the guy. That's first. Secondly, then you bring him in, and you bring him in at a discounted rate. You got to follow the money. If you were bringing him in to be a starter, you would bring him in and you would pay him as a starter. So we could sit there and try to frame it as, oh, Cam has something to prove. It ain't about the money. But really, in the end, we talked about it at length. He held out long enough trying to figure out if he could get a starting job, starting salary deal before he signed. So let's not go there. They bring him in, He may not fit the scheme the way that everybody's expecting him to, but they're confident in Stidham. And Stidham will probably be, with all of the given scenario and circumstances right now, will be the starter coming week one of them playing. Okay.
We've gotten so far. Man, I wish this pandemic would end so we could get some real sports to remind people of the primal nature of sports. If Cam is not starting in week one in New England, they are tanking for Trevor. I mean, that's all that is. If they're going out there and with him on the roster, if it was just Jarrett Stidham on the roster, I would have no problem. Let's go out there and try to win all our games. But if you sit Cam Newton healthy down for Jarrett Stidham, I don't care if Jarrett Stidham has perfect performances in practice. There is a ceiling to a Jarrett Stidham that is not as high as Cam Newton. I was just yesterday at a park watching the training of these young high schoolers. Uh-huh. And we've all been around the game long enough that it takes about 3-4 seconds to know who's good and who needs to study.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, who needs to get a degree and who needs to be in the league? And it was just so obvious, so glaring. It was just like, golly. And it's not a level playing field. And I'm sorry, Jarrett Stidham. I believe in equality. But you're not equal to Cam Newton on a football field if Cam Newton is right. So you can say all you want. We could go over here and wax poetic about Belichick's philosophy and all of what he's trying to do and motivating factors. The point is, as soon as he see Cam Newton on that field, and then he's like, all right, good rep. Your turn, Jarrett. And he's like, oh, there is a difference. And that's going to be the difference in Cam Newton being the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He's just too damn good to sit down. It's a primal sport. Man, oh, man, against your will on acreage. And Cam Newton has already shown he's done that better than anybody.
Now, let's put it all in perspective, because sometimes you'll turn on a show and if you just watch bits and pieces, you'll be like, how are you going to disrespect Jarrett Stidham? We're not necessarily. Remember, Cam Newton, healthy, is one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best creatures the game has ever seen. Like, not even a quarterback.
Y'all
one of the best creatures.
Stop.
But, LeVar, I have to call you out because you was out here telling some lies.
Ooh.
Okay?
Ooh.
You was out here telling some lies.
What's new?
You said that they let Tom Brady go. As if Tom ain't choose he wanted to go on his own. As if Tom ain't a man with 2 feet and two shoes. And as if Tom ain't walk out on his own. You said they would have paid Cam more. The market dictates your value, sir. They didn't have to pay Cam no more. Learned that in college. So it's not a matter of they didn't pay Cam because they didn't want to or need to. They didn't pay Cam because they didn't have to.
Do not perpetuate that. Follow the money. If they were going to pay him as a starter, if he was going to be a starter coming in, they would have paid him starter money. That's just the rules of engagement. You're not going to pay a guy bare minimum to come in and be a starter. Y'all talking about all of these things that Cam Newton is and what he represents, but yet when it came down to the check, he got a not-so-Cam Newton check. Y'all better stop, man. Take us a break.
He only got that check because he had a flat tire. It was a salvage. They bought it at the junkyard.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that driver still was in there. And he about to take off on y'all. Coming up, NBA will put his social justice message on the court and on his jersey when the season relaunches. We'll tell you what kind of impact it could have. Next.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move to the NBA, where the majority of players have opted to wear one of several league-approved social justice messages on their jerseys instead of their names. Of the 350 or so eligible players, 285 have already committed to a statement, and many players have announced their choices, with Damian Lillard choosing how many more, CJ McCollum choosing education reform, Marvin Bagley choosing freedom, and Rudy Gobert choosing equality, the most popular choice so far. We're joined now by my guy, Slick Rick, has a lot of amending to make after yesterday's ridiculous comments. But, Marcellus, I'll start with you, my brother. Will these statements on the jerseys have a significant impact?
No, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I hope that I have to eat crow on this, but I would say no. At least in my experience of growing up and coming from my adverse conditions and making it to where I am right now, I was too focused on my walk, my journey, too focused on my path to care if a basketball player had something that was inspirational or phrasing on his jersey to give me hope and fuel on that same path. So it wouldn't work for me, What if that guy is now on the bench and I can't see the jersey? What if the guy's out of the game? It's only a 3-hour game. I still have to feel inspired and empowered from within. I have to be not a victim of my circumstances or a product of my environment, but I must produce for my environment. So as much as the conversation is about talk and keeping the conversation going, I am much more interested in having the actions flowing. And I grew up hearing my grandma say that talk robs walk. And I was like, Grandma, what you mean?
She's That's
like,
a word.
Whenever you out
That's
there, whenever you're out there bumping your gums, you ain't about that life. And I used to always look at that. I used to watch people when they had interactions or they would have to do something that was calling for responsibility, how people would love to sit there and get as close as they can to actually working on it. But then the conversation was the thing that kept them distant from actually making true change. So in a world where it's good to be symbolic, but it's tougher to be of substance. In a world where you could just post anything and throw people off, I'm not really buying into this. And I'll leave you with this quote on my first lap by my man George F. Will of the Washington Post, who wrote this amazing article. Much of today's intelligentsia cannot think. He says, quote, spinning problems that merit the gold of complex ideas and nuanced judgments into the straw of slogans. Y'all, use your DVR, rewind that, figure out what that means, and that's how I feel about this.
Marcellus, first and foremost, I need a book exclusively of quotables from Grandma.
Grandma
because
came.
You be coming with that heat from Grandma every episode.
Yeah,
for sure. I do agree with you, Marcellus, in that these statements on the back of these jerseys aren't going to make a significant impact. Here is my First, let me applaud, because I don't want to ever tear down until
true,
I build up.
True.
First, let me applaud. I appreciate the NBA for doing something. To a degree, something is, in fact, better than nothing. However, good can be the enemy of great. And I don't like that the actions may speak. I prefer that the actions speak louder than words.
You
specifically,
think?
Words on the back of a jersey. Mm. But here's what really what messed me up. How are you going to give players freedom of speech by allowing them to put something on the back of their jersey, but then limit the speech by only allowing them to say certain things on the back of the jersey?
That part.
Either you are with the players and you are with their move towards equality and announcing it publicly, or you are not. But the NBA, you can't have it both ways. My biggest fear, my biggest worry, my biggest concern is this. I don't want the NBA to simply say, okay, check. We let the players put social justice messages on the back of their jersey, and then that's it, because that's not enough. That may be the beginning of the conversation. That may lead to some conversations, but conversation and dialogue has to also be followed up by some action, and that is my fear with these NBA statements.
Most important word in that question is significant. Is there going to be some impact from this? I'm sure that there will be. Is it going to be significant impact? I don't see how. I'm going to take a real life example. Flint, Michigan, and the water issues that they had up there. Mm. Now, some people, they've been resolved to a certain extent. They still exist to a certain extent. But the bottom line is there was plenty of video of people holding signs, people talking about the water is bad, demonstrating, showing bottles of it, etc. It wasn't until the federal government, until President Obama, provided money, and they were forced to change the lines to take the water from Detroit rather than Flint. Bottom line was, it was action. And that's ultimately what it took to get something changed. What we're still seeing here is symbolism. And we talked about it on this very show. We talked about when this came out, we said, yeah, but they're not going to let them just put anything on their jerseys.
Right.
There's going to be some control here. And sure enough, Jaylen Brown and Mike Scott, players are now complaining about the choices. And you even have guys who are not putting anything on the back of their jerseys. So they're not even collective in their approach to this particular statement. I also have a problem with, like, multiple messages. It sounds like a deli order. I got three freedoms and I got two equalities. And anybody got a Black Lives Matter here?
I'm good. I'll pass.
It's like we're picking favorite movies or something. We got a board up there. Like it steals the whole meaning and significance of this. And again, as we said a while back when this first came up, you get one big ask. Mm-hmm. You get the opportunity. You have the leverage to say, we're not coming back unless. And they picked, we're not coming back unless we put slogans on our jersey. And I just feel as if I felt it was a big whiff then. And as I look at coming into reality, I'm more convinced than ever that they could have done so much more.
People always say I'm a hater because I just don't join the flow, just don't go with the sheep and just go with the momentum. I always stop and think before I move. And a lot of times people just want you to go because, hey, we're all going. I never have and I never will. Let me just machine gun a little of my mentality in this subject and see where it lands. I want everyone to know that equal opportunity is a goal. And that's a goal that is actually realistic. But you know what's not realistic? Equal results, equal production. And I think sometimes that gets conflated because everyone wants equality, but they're basing on the fact that people don't have the same end results. We got to make sure we know the difference and the space between equal opportunity and equal results. I also want people to know, even if you have equality, you won't get the same production from everyone because you know why? Winners create losers. Haves create have-nots. So I know no one wants to raise their hand to say, yeah, I'm the loser. Yeah, I'm the have-not. But if someone won, guess who you're not? The winner in that situation. There are no solutions in this world, y'all. Just trade-offs. And that's where we're at right now. Like, we're not going to get a solution to all of our world's great grand issues because they have on a slogan on their jersey. You're just going to get a trade-off of, okay, we're going to talk about a little more, maybe not do anything else that is warranted or substantial on the other side. My last little machine gun is how there's no guarantees in life. And this is a message that I'm going to bring home in story when I was a Buffalo Bill. Our coach, Bruce DeHaven, rest in peace, who was like the greatest special team coach for at least 20 years in NFL, talked about how there's no guaranteed route to success, but there is a guaranteed route to failure. Think about how hard it is just to make it, to climb up the pyramid of life. Even if you do every single thing right, there's still not a guarantee you're going to win. But you can put yourself in alignment with a path that is going to guarantee you you're going to fail. And since this is a sports show, let me say it in sports terms. We're sitting there in the special teams room, and Coach DeHaven was real. He said, I know none of y'all want to be here. Everybody want to be a starter on offense, a starter on defense. Nobody signs up to be on special teams, but damn it, you're here. And I want you guys to give me one thing and one thing only, 100% effort. And you know why? Because if you give me 100% effort, I can't guarantee you that you'll ever block a kick. But if you don't give me 100%, I guarantee you you'll never block a kick. He not only changed how I approach special teams, he changed how I approach life. So if you guys can internalize that messaging from the late, great Bruce DeHaven, you understand where I come from on this slogan issue.
Let me throw you another analogy, see if this fits. You have a kid who's really good at math, let's say writing computer code. You have two opportunities. I can either get you an internship for your kid at a Silicon Valley company, or I can give you a bumper sticker that says your kid's really good at writing code. Which one are you going to pick, and which is going to be more valuable to your kid?
Come on.
I know which one I would pick ultimately. Here's the other problem. We have still 65 players who haven't decided what they're going to put on the back of their jerseys. We already have 17 who have decided, screw it, I'm just putting my name on the back of my jersey. That is now going to become the conversation. And where did we start? This is supposed to be about fixing social injustice, not what guys are putting on their jerseys and why. And that is at the heart of why it's just such a bad left turn. It misses the mark on what it was supposed to accomplish.
NBA, while something is better than nothing, good is still the enemy of great. Coming up, Dak and Jerry are running out of time to make a deal. Uncle Jimmy, he gonna tell us who's gonna cave first. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Welcome back. Let's talk Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, who are running out of time to agree on a long-term deal. they don't have one in place by July 15th, Dak will play on a franchise tag and his future will remain uncertain. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy. Who's more likely to cave here, Dak or Jerry? Jerry Jones.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Jerry Jones might look like a chicken, but Jerry Jones ain't no damn spring chicken, okay? All right. Jerry Jones is 78 years old. That's 245 in dog years, okay? They say that a man is only as good as his options, okay? That, hey, man, Jerry Jones will never find another somebody to love him like Dak Prescott, okay? All right? And see, right now, Jerry Jones ain't thinking with a fair head because he done moved that little redhead bingo in, and so now he ain't really thinking fair, okay? But he about to find out real quick the very reason why the Bengals divorced Andy Dalton's ass, okay? All right?
Yeah.
So don't build your fortunes on something that you don't know. You gonna miss Dak, all right? Dak gonna be talking about, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Oh, you know he got this big ass head.
You are crazy.
Come on, man.
And Jerry want a ring, too, so he's like, you should put a ring on it as well. And get your Wi-Fi bill paid. All right, that's it for us, y'all. Take care.